on behalf of all of you and on behalf of myself, to welcome Coach Martin to our pulpit this morning. You know, he's a great coach. He is extremely skilled in the art of training young men for baseball. He's a winning coach. But I think what impresses me most of all, and what Mike speaks to me, is the witness he makes to Christ in his daily life. And that's the most winning witness of all. And Mike, we welcome you this morning to our pulpit. And Don, we're going to read the scripture from Mike, and then he will come and share the message with you.
Scripture this morning is one verse, so appropriate in our daily life. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him.
Yeah, I memorized that verse about 3 or 4 years ago. Started writing scripture verses on baseball before that. I wrote Colossians 3:18. I won a baseball by mistake. And a woman looked at me one day and said, "Do you know what verse you just wrote on my son's baseball?" And I looked it up, and it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands." Now, if you don't believe me, you can look that up. Just like Casey Stengel says. Yeah. Following Jesus, talking about Jesus, is something that I used to couldn't do. I used to think if I talked about Jesus, I would lose my competitiveness. That's just the opposite. I'm much more aggressive now because I know I have someone right there to support me. I know that Jesus Christ is alive. I used to, hey, wait a minute now, Dennis. Don't be talking about Jesus when we're working. I mean, you know, he's there, and I'm going to call on him when I need him. And I need him a lot when we were playing kickball again. But you know, so many times in our world, we can't stand up for Jesus because we're concerned with what somebody else is thinking. Why are we like that? You know, if I was a golfer and I had a new set of golf clubs, I could stand up and tell you all about my Wilson graphite shafts. But yet, if we're out in the everyday marketplace, nobody will talk to you much about Jesus. How about you? How about me? Oh, it's a lot of fun to be in this wonderful church. Beautiful people. But we got to go out that door and take Jesus with us. At some point this week, you're going to have a chance to talk to somebody about Jesus. You're going to back away from it. Somebody is just searching for Jesus Christ. But they're like I was years ago. They don't think that you can talk about Jesus and be the kind of person that you want to be. We are to be the kind of people Christ wants us to be. There's been a lot of funny stories in the years that I've been at Florida State. One of them involves one of the best athletes I ever coached. That's Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders was getting abused one night by a left-handed pitcher. I mean, he didn't want to hit. Well, I wanted to show confidence in him, so the guy had struck him out 3 times. So it's 8th inning. It's a big part of the game. And I wanted to show Dion, and had confidence in him, seen him up there. I said, now listen, just go up there, get a good pitch to hit, be sure that you're staying closed with your front shoulder. And hey, don't worry about it. I mean, you know, sometimes fans get a little rough and ugly. If you strike out, just don't worry about it. He said, they're going to be booing me, coach. They're going to be booing you if you send me up here to hit all these guys. Where is Jesus in your life? 2 weeks from yesterday, our oldest daughter is going to get married. Years ago, I never could really grasp what some people would say to me about, are you praying for your son's or daughter's mate? And what happens after? No. No. She's married a wonderful Christian young man. Why don't we pray about everything? Everything. Where is Jesus Christ with you when you walk out the door? God has a plan for every single one of us. And it's up to us to do the very best that we can do, turn it all over to Him and get after it. Work hard. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know one thing. Jesus is right with me, and I'm going to do everything I can to achieve the goals that I have set. Now, obviously, one of the goals that I have set personally is to win a national championship. And I have worked extremely hard for that. But God has a purpose for my life. I don't know if He's ever going to give it to me, but He's going to hear about it every day. But I am not going to stop striving to be a better Christian and a better coach. We played for the national championship in 1986. We got beat 10-3. It really wasn't that close. We got drilled after the ball game was over. I'll never forget this. After the ball game was over, a lady came walking real slow, real slow. And I turned and I saw that there was something wrong with it. It was Jerry Kimmel's wife, Georgia Kimmel. She was dying of Lou Gehrig's disease. Jerry Kimmel was the head coach at Arizona. 2 months later, she was with the Lord. But I walked off the field and I looked up. All I could do was thank Him for getting us that far. He's alive. He's living. Jesus Christ is alive. But we can't just come to church grasping, asking for things for an hour and walk out the door. Our religion is a common sense religion. I have a friend of mine. Sometimes I feel like I play psychiatrist, preacher, whatever, but that's what happens when you get to be 50. I can still hit it. I can still hit it. I got a call from a guy who was so mad. Here's a guy that we talk about the Lord all the time. I said, pray about it. I can't pray about it. What do you mean you can't pray about it? I said, you got to ask God to intervene in this situation. You got to ask Him to help you love this particular guy that he wasn't really getting along with. He said, no, I can't. After 5 minutes, he was fine. Because he was going somewhere and committed all to the Lord. How many times do we do that every day? Every week, we're going to get mad about something. Do we say, take this, Jesus, I can't have it. somebody provoke you, and you say, take this, Jesus, I can't handle it. Common sense religion. Treat people the way they want to be treated, and they'll treat you. Love the people that are hard to love, they'll love you back. Get on your knees and pray about that situation. 6-7 years ago, I'm on the plane. I'm going to Kansas City. Now, I'm not flying first class. I'm flying coach. But I always liked the thought of what it would be like to fly up there. And this particular time, I had a chance because the seat beside me was open. I had to put the real armrest up. I was leaning back in there, reading my Sports Illustrated. Boom. Doors getting ready to close, and all of a sudden, here she came. Packages, everything. Flips open things. She grabbed the packages all in there. Sits down, only open seat on the whole plane, right beside me. I'm just saying, why me? 10 minutes into the flight, we cracked up a conversation. She was a missionary. She had just come back from Brazil. And we started talking. Now, this has been 6-7 years ago. That lady taught me something. That lady taught me what I just said to you. Be able to give everything openly to the Lord. Be able to say the person's name that you're having trouble with. Be able to just expose everything to God. I couldn't do that years and years ago. I didn't want to talk about that guy I was having trouble with. I don't give a flip what happened to him. That's not common sense. That is not the Christian religion. How about when people start gossiping? Cutting other people down. I have gotten to where I will change the conversation or I will walk away. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do, is to sit there and join him and let that person think he's making himself feel better, when all he's doing is letting the devil take control of his life. Our job is to build people up, not to put them down. God has a plan for every one of us. Through prayer, hard work, living the life that he intended us to live, we're always going to be in. I do believe that right now, and for a while, we have been experiencing spiritual warfare. There is no doubt. The devil is working on us every day. Some of us may not want to accept that or recognize it, but he's out there. He's attacking us daily. And you give him just a little bit, and he's going to take control. I heard a great saying the other day. You either going or coming when it comes to Christianity. You're either going or coming. There ain't no middle ground. How are you doing? Are you reading good books? Are you trying to learn more about our Jesus? Are you willing to talk with other people, Christian, non-Christian, about Jesus? Oh, I can't get into conversation about Jesus. I don't want to talk about it. Well, why don't you start reading and learn something? All you have to do is tell somebody that you love Jesus. And then they talk to Jesus about it. Jesus Christ is real. Give him everything. Three weeks ago, I got very angry And the first thing in my mind was retaliation. And then I said, how would Jesus handle this? Do you ever ask yourself, how would Jesus handle this situation? We're going to fall short. I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to get mad. But I'm going to keep striving. We need to read something. 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, about the Lord every day. We need to keep putting things in our mind that are positive for the Lord. You can't come to church 1 hour a week and think, that's it. I've done what I'm supposed to do. That's not the way it works. If you want to be good at something, if you want to improve at something, you better practice it. We've got practice today at 1:30. I'd love to be playing golf, to tell you the truth. I'd love to be able to say, go out there and work on this first and third situation and do it right. They're not going to do it right unless they have guides. We're not going to do things right in our lives if we don't have the guides of the Bible, of Jesus. Some of you might have problems understanding all of the Bible. I did. They have different translations. I'm reading one at home. Carol talks about it being like a magazine. It's so easy to understand. It's called The Message. It's at the Christian bookstore. If you get a chance, I strongly suggest that you pick that up. But how about daily devotionals? How about prayer? How about on your knees? Maybe you do it every day. If you don't, let me strongly encourage you. Get on your knees. My mom suffered from Alzheimer's. Sometimes she knows who I am when I call. Sometimes she doesn't. We put them both in a nursing home 3 weeks ago to her. My mama taught me to get on my knees. Let me tell you, one of the most fired up times that you can have is getting on your knees with your children. God willing, I'm going to have some grandchildren one day. I want to be the one. I want to be the one. But I hope when it's my time, the children have already had them on their knees. Tremendous experience getting on your knees with your children, your wife. It's common sense religion. He gives us 24 hours a day, and we can't give him 2 or 3 minutes. I'm not telling you to come to the altar every Sunday and stay for 45 minutes or go home and get on your knees and stay for 15. I can use all the words I know at 10. How exciting it is to get on my knees. 3 or 4 minutes. Just thanking. So much we have to be thankful for. But do we express it to the one that made it all possible? I'm going to close with something that happened. Guy asked me one time, he said, you know, I'm struggling with this. My nickname is 11. I said, 11, I'm really struggling with this. You know, you talk about this Jesus. How do you know that Jesus Christ lived, walked on the face of the earth? I said, that's easy. History reported that. He said, man, he had to really do something to make this thing go from way back then to right now. He really had to do some persuading, didn't he? Then I got to thinking, we're 11 disciples. And Judas Iscariot committed suicide. We're 11 disciples. Not one single one of them changed their story. They knew they were going to get killed. They knew they were going to get killed. Nobody wavered. Nobody said, no, he didn't come back. You know how they died? Peter was crucified. Upside down. James, they cut his head off. Philip was beaten and thrown in prison where he became a cripple. Then they crucified him. Matthew served among the cannibals, was tied up, covered with oil, thrown into fire. As he was burning, he said, Father, receive my spirit. Andrew, bashful Andrew, was the first missionary to Russia when it was known by another name. Probably the most barbaric of all the people back then. He was beaten by 7 men with rods, was brought to an X-shaped cross, where he said, Hail, cross, thou hast been consecrated by my Lord and adorned by his limbs. I come to thee exalted and glad. Receive me into your arms. And they killed him. Thomas, doubted Thomas, was the first missionary to India. He was imprisoned and tortured by pagan priests. Then they stabbed him with spears till he died. John, wonderful book that we've all read. John ministered in Ephesus and founded many churches. He was thrown into a cauldron of boiling oil and escaped miraculously. With scars covering his body, the emperor viewed him superstitiously and sent him to the Isle of Patmos, where he wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation. They hunted him. They hunted him, found him, buried him alive, watched him die. It's one thing to go through the Bible. It's another to have the Bible go through. Don't miss an opportunity to tell somebody next week Jesus Christ is real. Somebody influenced Chuck Swindoll, Billy Graham, Max Lucado, Jerry Bridges, the great writers, the great evangelists in our country. Most of these ministries are going overseas now, so don't you miss out on an opportunity to tell somebody. He's real. He's right here in this place.
And all people said,
Amen.